Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
I know we're getting some really, really complimentary posts with regard to our new special podcast called After the Paracast. And this is available for those of you who subscribe to the Paracast Plus. You go to plus.theparacast.com to get more information about the modest monthly fee or modest annual fee. And you get the ad-free version of the radio show. Higher resolution copies, so the audio is cleaner and crisper. Except when we have bad cell phone connections with the guests, we can't do much about that. And you also get other privileges. We're adding stuff all the time. Right now we have After the Paracast available exclusively to Paracast Plus members. And last week we talked about what we call reopening old wounds about UFO abductions. Fortunately, the serious feedback I anticipated hasn't come yet. And maybe I shouldn't press that issue. What do you think?
Yeah, let sleeping commentators lie.
But we'll always be politically incorrect. One thing that has brought a lot of discussion, though, is George Hansen's comments about tricksters and their meaning.
Indeed. Yeah, it's there's quite a lively repartee and debate going on at the forums, at forum.theparacast.com, where you can ask questions of our guests and also comment about the show and kind of argue some salient points about subjects that we cover here at the Paracast. And this week's George Hansen show thread is pretty fascinating. I've been sitting back taking notes, and I'll be ready to chime in on with my two cents here at some point. But I think it did spark a lot of debate. It got people thinking. Some people still don't get it. They think the trickster is a person. People can be trickster-like, but the trickster is, it's very difficult to nail down. It's like trying to nail jello to the wall, but basically it's a mechanism that supplies any structure and creates room for creativity, topples static systems, and is neither here nor there. It's neither young or old, black or white, positive or negative. It's liminal, meaning that it's not in the room or out of the room. It's kind of at the doorway or in the threshold. So these are all very interesting concepts that are being bannered about at the Paracast Forum. So tune in.
Would you call the trickster a force?
Use the force, Chris.
I'm not sure if it's a force. I think George did a good job of describing that it's a constellation of elements that tend to be anti-structural. They tend to, as I said before, topple static structures, create room for creativity and growth. Oftentimes when things get too entrenched, when powers that be and control structures become too rooted in one spot, the trickster comes along and topples the house of cards. So, you know, it's a cross between a force and a mechanism, I would say, a constellation of various elements that tend to get stronger as the effect of the trickster process unfolds. The trickster tends to get more powerful until it reaches a point of equilibrium, and then it tends to fade back away and remain back in the in our Western cultural closet, so to speak. Except, you know, we have clowns and masquerade balls and other vestiges of the trickster that still remain in our culture. For the most part, the trickster is out of sight, out of mind.
So we get a yin and we get a yang.
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it. Care to amplify that one, Gene?
It's a balance. There has to be a sense of balance when things are moved in one direction or another. Something has to correct.
Exactly. It's like a thermostat in the house. When it gets too hot, the AC kicks on. When it gets too cold, the heater kicks on.
So let's just call the trickster the universe's thermostat.
Well, at least it's our planet's thermostat. I can't, speak to the universe, but possibly.
So do you think the trickster, therefore, is planet-specific, or the people over at Zeta Reticuli have their own trickster running around, or the Force, or whatever it is?
Again, it's really hard to say. Anything that I could say about that would be pure speculation on my part.
Well, you're the trickster expert of the planet, right?
No, not by any stretch. I'm more confused now than I was before I started researching Stalking the Tricksters, which was my book before Stalking the Herd. So, I can't really claim any sort of expertise. I don't think there really are any experts on the trickster. The more you think you know about it, the more curveballs and screwballs you tend to have to attempt to hit out of the park. And that's why I've stayed out of the current conversation, because, I think other people are really doing a good job of sort of presenting particular points of view. And so far, I haven't really been asked to for my opinion, so I'm not going to offer it.
Well, that's a good thing. Maybe you'll avoid trouble. Actually, it's funny. The topic that seems to get the most debate, and sometimes it's very severe debate, in our forums has nothing to do with the paranormal, has nothing to do with UFOs, has nothing to do with tricksters, although maybe it does, and that is climate change.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting how there is a very, very, very intense debate over whether there is such a thing as man or human-made climate change?
Yeah. Well, I've been kind of staying out of that one, too, actually. I don't want to, because as soon as you comment, half the group is going to jump on you. So I think they're both wrong.
Okay, so there is and there isn't.
I think we're contributing, but I don't think we're, I think the planet has its own mechanism. As soon as it starts to warm up, it releases more methane. And again, you have a thermostat-like condition. The planet has its own built-in tricksterish mechanism that, as the planet gets warmer, then it clicks on the AC and the Gulf Stream slows down and stops. And then warm water isn't brought up to the northern Arctic regions. And that facilitates, ice ages. And the ice age cools everything down in order to keep everything in equilibrium. So, I think that we're not helping the issue by pumping tons of carbon into the air. But, right now the tundra up in Siberia is melting. The permafrost is melting. That's releasing amazing amounts of ozone-depleting gas and methane into the atmosphere. So I think it's a confluence of factors that are contributing. There isn't a single one that you can really say is responsible for climate change. I don't think humans are solely responsible for it. I think we're not helping, but I think the planet has a lot more to do with it than some of your, real Al Gore types out there would like you to believe.
Okay, climate change. Let's move on to Sky People, the subject of our episode. This is fascinating. And by the way, this is the second book I've heard of called Sky People. There was a book from the 60s by Brinsley, right, Lepore Trench called The Sky People, mm-hmm, one of the classic ancient astronaut books. And this is also called Sky People, but in a different sense, although I guess the results may be the same.
Yeah. Our guest today, Dr. Artie Sixkiller-Clark, spent 7 years traveling around the Maya lands, around Mesoamerica, and collecting stories and legends about non-human entities. And I think it's going to be a fascinating episode. She's quite the storyteller. Unlike her first appearance here, I'm not going to constantly be asking her for documentation, for dates and times and all those kinds of things that I like to gather when I do my research. We're just going to sit back and talk about the Alexis, the little diminutive dwarfs that are found down in the Maya world, and all sorts of interesting creatures that flit about in the shadows down there.
We'll have more to flit about in the shadows.
with Artie Six Killer Clark, author of Sky People. Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on our distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
What good is a big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We welcome back Dr. Artie Six Killer Clark, and she has a new book out that came out just some weeks back called Sky People. And I guess from the title, it infers what it's about, but there's a subtitle, Untold Stories of Alien Encounters in Mesoamerica. That's already makes me curious as to what it's all about. Artie, thank you for joining us in the PowerCast again. What led you to take the odyssey that you took to explore these mysteries about advanced people in ancient times?
Well, first of all, you know, I have an interest in indigenous people's perspectives of UFOs and alien encounters. And I have been collecting stories for years among American Indians in the United States. And I collected some stories down in the South Pacific and New Zealand and Australia. And when I retired my retirement at MSU, I had decided I was going to fulfill a teenage dream. When I was in high school, a teacher handed me a book called John L. Stevens and Frederick Catherwood. And Stevens is considered to be the father of American archaeology, basically. And I read their book, and I was just fascinated with the journey they had taken, because they made this journey, their first journey in 1839, and they had heard rumors about these ancient cities in the jungle, but there was no proof that they really existed. And so they went there in search of these ancient cities. It resulted in a book called Incidents of Travel in Central America, the Chiapas, and the Yucatan. And they began in Belize, what is now Belize. At that time, it was British Honduras. And they traveled through Belize to, well, they stopped over in Belize, but they went through Guatemala, Honduras, and into Mexico. And when I turned the book back into the teacher, I said, you know, one of these days I'm going to follow in their footsteps. I'm going to make that trip just like they made it. And she said, well, they have another book called Incidents of Travel in the Yucatan. And she said, why don't you read that too? Well, I just fell in love with these two explorers and made up my mind that I was going to carry out that promise to myself one day. And of course, as the years passed, you know, a career and family and everything just took precedent over my promise to myself. And I had read von Daniken's work on the ancient astronaut theory of how these cities were built by aliens. And so I just decided that while I made the trip, I was going to see if I could learn about the ancient legends of the sky people and sky gods, and if I could collect stories of alien encounters and UFO sightings from the Maya people. And of course, I selected my guides and interpreters and drivers, people who themselves had interest in UFOs. When I made the promise to myself and decided that I was going to make this trip, one of the things that I knew I would need would be drivers and interpreters and guides who, first of all, had an interest in what I was doing, and secondly, had connections and were respected people within the area where I was traveling. And I was very lucky to find those kind of people. And I credit them for providing me with access to individuals and introducing me to people. And some of the stories I gathered simply was by chance. Some of them were people in hotels where I was staying, and the word got around that what I was doing there, and they would come to me and tell me they had a story. But the majority of them, you know, I was helped tremendously by the people I hired to work with me.
Now, who does the legwork here? Do you go and
I do it all.
You do it all. So you have to go in there
do it all.
And make it clear to people that you want to talk about their legends and set things down. And therefore, do you ever think here, though, that when you make this known, that maybe a few people just want to tell you stories to get into a book or something?
Well, you know, I don't think so, because they don't want their names used to begin with. They many of them were illiterate, and so they wouldn't be seeking some kind of fame. And I don't think they were people who were interested in any kind of fame or attention.
The Maya have an elaborate and very impressive oral tradition as well. So a lot of these stories have been passed down for many generations.
Yeah. Well, and these some of the ancient stories I tell as a prelude to the chapters are stories that have been there for centuries, you know. And occasionally, you know, like I was in Monte Alban, which was it's a Zapotec ancient site up in Oaxaca, and Stevens and Catherwood never went there, but I wanted to go there out of curiosity and see if I could learn anything, and I hired a driver who was quite familiar with the area and spoke some of the regional languages, and when I was in Monte Alban, I was standing by myself overlooking this. The Monte Alban is built up on a mountain, and I was looking out over the jungle below, and I had three young men approach me, and they had a movie camera, a studio camera. And they asked me what I thought about the burning that was going on by the people that live there in those little villages. And what they do is they slash and burn the jungle, and they plant their crops. And you could see, you know, standing there overlooking the valley, you could see all these little smoke coming up, and that's where they were burning and getting ready to plant their crops. And they were doing, they told me they were with the university, they were students at the university, and they were going to do a film on this. And so they wanted to put me on film, what I thought about this. And I said, oh, no, I don't want to be on your film about what I thought about this.
You know what? Let's do the break now, Artie. I do not want to be on film anyway because I don't cast a reflection. I think that's part of the problem.
Now, you have a great face for radio.
I sure do. Dr. Artie Sixkiller-Clark is author of Sky People. We're framing the background of how she got all these incredible stories. More to come with Gina and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to Mr. UFO at webtv.net. That's Mr. UFO at webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason
from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jerry's on. Going once. Twice. Okay, we got to move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait. No!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at gcnlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at gcnlive.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Remember to check out plus.theparacast.com for the Paracast Plus subscription service, plus.theparacast.com for a modest monthly or annual fee. You get the exclusive After the Paracast podcast. That sounds like a tongue twister. And, of course, an ad-free version for the show. Okay? Higher resolution, too. Dr. Artie Sixkiller Clark is here framing the way in which she started to hear about these legends about the arrival of sky people. Now, Artie, before we get into some of the stories, isn't it interesting that we have these legends in all cultures around the planet, it seems? So do we assume?
I think it's very interesting. One of the things that when the scientific age, so to speak, came into being, you know, all of the oral stories that had been handed down for generations were simply set aside as, you know, if you couldn't prove them empirically, then they were worth listening to. And so you have what resulted in that is a loss of a lot of history. And a lot of the indigenous people around the world have kept those stories. And many of them are unknown, you know. And when you get out in the field and you start talking to people, you start hearing these legends. And these young men that I met in Monte Alban, when they found out what I was doing, they suggested, well, perhaps they should follow me around because what I was doing was a lot more interesting than what they were doing. And so they began to tell me about a village where was an ancient story about a sky man, a man who came from the stars, and he came on a beam of light. And he entered the village. He could terraform the earth. He helped the people build a city. He taught them how to do different things and in construction. And he married a local woman. And they had a child, they had a son, and when that son got old enough to assume the duties of taking care of the people, he went back to the same spot where he arrived on the beam of light, and a beam of light came down and took him to the stars, and he was never seen again. And these young men told me this story, and so I went in search of this village and the site, and it's a fairly unknown site, you know. And, it's right along the side of a highway. I mean, if you're driving by, you'd never even know it existed. But since I was looking for it, I was able to find it. And I was talking to the man at the kiosk there, and he said, well, you know, he would take me around and show me the site. And one of the things that was very interesting to me is they had a carved in stone this man that came from the stars. They had his image carved in a stone. And he was wearing goggles, which I found highly unusual. And he was also had what appeared to be a breathing apparatus. And I could see that, you know, where people would come up with some of the theories that they've come up with. You know, and when I talked to this man, I said, well, do the star people ever come back to your village? And he said, oh, yes, they do come back. And he told me about how they come back and they visit with the elders in their village. And they come back and as though they pay homage to, they go to the site, that the ancient site, as though they are paying homage to the ancestors that were there.
So this is happening, that's here and now we're talking about.
Yes, yes.
Now, the goggles kind of reminds me of some of the depictions of the Toltec.
Mm-hmm. That's true. It's kind of interesting because some of those cultures down there, you know, the Toltec and I'm trying to think, you know, had a tremendous influence on the Mayan culture too, you know, and introduced the savagery of you know, the decapitation and tearing out the hearts and all that sort of thing to the Maya culture.
Prior to the introduction of the Atlatl and the Toltec in warfare, it was the Mayan aristocracy and the royal class and the priest class that would do the bloodletting, and they would do it on themselves.
Okay, right. They didn't do the tearing out of the heart and the things of that nature.
Well, they did, but it wasn't like the Aztec later on where, you know, hundreds, even thousands of people would be lined up and this would happen. It was done only out of kind of necessity as a last resort. But they did sacrifice people. They sacrificed captured warriors from other cities. They'd agree to exchange prisoners, and it was quite an honor to be selected as one of the sacrificial victims. Their warfare was more of a stylized, almost kabuki theater, really, based on some of my research. And it wasn't until, as you mentioned, that the Toltec introduced, you know, the taking of sacking of cities, raping and pillaging and all that sort of thing. Prior to that, that was not part of the Olmec or Mayan culture, to my knowledge.
Yeah. Well, I find the Maya today to be a very peaceful people and a very humble people.
I couldn't believe it. I was watching a History Channel show back in 2009, I think, or 2008. And they were talking about the Maya and how they went extinct in the 1300s. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. The Maya are probably the largest group of indigenous Americans. There's over 4 million of them. And
there's over 15 million of them. You know, if you include Guatemala, Belize, Honduras, and Mexico, there's 15 million Maya.
Yeah, I might be thinking of just Quiche Maya.
I think you're probably thinking of maybe Quiche Maya or, you know, they're divided into different language groups, but they're all Maya, you know, they speak dialect.
All of Guatemala.
You know, I had one driver who spoke six different dialects of the Maya language, you know.
Yeah, but to say that's extinct, I mean, that's inexcusable.
Well, all the you know, one of the interesting things that the elders told me there, they said, you know, we arrived here with our knowledge. We didn't get our knowledge from someplace else. We didn't have somebody come to us and give us our knowledge. We came to this place with our knowledge. So when the Spaniards came, we didn't consider them gods. And we didn't consider them gods like the Aztec, for example, because we did not consider them as being from an advanced civilization because we were from an advanced civilization and we were more advanced than they were. And they, you know, they talk simply, well, you know, you look at the Lacandon Maya that were not even discovered until 1958. They lived so far into the jungle, they just left and went into the jungle. And they still have their little villages there where they still practice the native religion. They do not send their kids to outside schools. I mean, you know, they live the old way.
We have the old way here to express, and we'll get back with RD6 Killer Clark and Sky People. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
From our family to yours, have a very Merry Christmas. We are the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.
Alex Jones here. For the last 2 years, I've been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to design a nutraceutical formulation that has truly life-changing health benefits. So many other formulations out there contain toxic ingredients, synthetic additives, and even GMOs. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit InfoWarsLife.com or call 1-888-253-3139. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
So we have here societies that keep to themselves, Artie, from what you're telling here. And they don't interact as much with the outside world. So how are they?
Not too much. There, you know, I saw some. One of the funniest things that happened, you know, is I had a Maya guide and Palenque, and he says to me, "You want to see a real Indian?" And he pointed out this Lacandon Indian, and of course they still dress in their traditional dress. Everybody wears the long gowns, and
aren't they the direct descendants of Bacall?
I don't think so. They don't claim to be. They're located quite a distance from Palenque, you know. I see them once, you know, when I was in San Cristobal, I met with a father and son who were from that group. And then I was able to interview one of the tradesmen that was selling, bows and arrows to tourists in Palenque. But very few of them ever leave. You know, if you go to some of the, you know, there are two historical sites that they claim as theirs, and they actually, you know, are the ones in charge of those sites. And you can't even drive up to those sites because they come and meet you and they take you in. And, those drivers, although they're from that group, they dress in Western clothes. And one of the elders was telling me that, you know, his grandchildren came running over and would look at me and smile and run away, you know, very shy, and then come back. And he says, "They're very curious about you." He said, "And they're very curious about the people who come here." But he said, we worry about that, he said, because we'd like to keep our old ways.
Which two sites are those? Is it Bonampak in Yaxchilan?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Bonampak is where I was, talking to the elder, and he was telling me how, and the children, you know, just run freely. I mean, it's their play area, the plaza there Have you ever been there?
A couple times.
Yeah.
The beautiful murals. The only real remaining full-color murals left in the Maya world. Yeah.
Sounds like a really fascinating journey here. But have we?
Well, and it took place over, several years.
Sure. So you said you drove 12,000 miles to do this. I assume it's a number of trips. You didn't just get in the car and come back to your
car. One trip I did take that was over 3,000 miles, just that trip alone. But I was on a 2-month trip. And, I went all the way, because I went up to Oaxaca, traveled through the Chiapas up to Oaxaca and made several side trips from there and went over to Puebla, and which was very close to Mexico City, and so, you think of a driving trip across the Sierra, range of mountains, you're going through all these different ecosystems, and it was quite a trip.
Now, just to put this in perspective, was there much variation in the stories you heard of the sky person or the sky people, or was it all remarkably consistent wherever you went?
I think all the stories were fairly different. I think when I think about the stories that American Indians tell, or Indians from the United States as opposed to America, they consider themselves American Indians too, or Amerindians, because they're from Mesoamerica. I think if anything, probably religion has more of an influence on their interpretation in some cases of what they've seen. Pentecostal religions are making an inroad into some of these small villages, and so some of them told me that the preacher had told them they were from the devil, and so there was more fear, more superstition than what I found among Indians in the United States. The culture is so old there, and that some of the stories they would tell me, they would talk about things that had happened in the past and things that are happening now, and they would kind of meld the two together. And I know that I was at one site where the handprints are on the facade of this only standing building in this site. And this site basically had no name because it hadn't been excavated. And at one time the government had said that had built a caretaker's hut there, and they were talking about excavating the site, but they hadn't excavated it. And so my driver and I had stopped there to have a little picnic, and this elderly gentleman approached us and identified himself and said that he looked after this site, and he invited us to his little place, and he told me that he had once been in the United States, and so he spoke English quite well, and I gave him some books. He had a lot of English novels and things, and I gave him some of my books, and he said, for that, I will show you around the site. He said, I have to pay you back. So he took me around the site, and there was a facade of an ancient temple, it looked like. And there were handprints all across the top of it. And then he began to tell me that those handprints, he said, a lot of people interpret them and say the handprints were left by those who built the structure. And he says, that's not true at all. And he went on to explain that these handprints were from the people who traveled the universe and who left their handprints because they were the collectors of knowledge and the givers of knowledge. And so he was particularly interested in setting that record straight. And he talked about the things he had learned from the shining people of the Red Hand, which is what he called them, the shining people of the Red Hand, and that they left their handprints so people would know that came after them, that they had been there and they had collected the knowledge. And the same thing with, you know, Palenque. The stories I was told by the elders there was that Palenque was to be the storehouse of all the knowledge. But after it was built, the workers refused to leave. And so the knowledge could not be stored there. And so Palenque then just became another city where, you know, several thousand people made it home, but it originally was designed to be the place of knowledge. And I thought it was interesting because I talked to a Hopi elder several years ago who told me that there is a city in the south that is red. And he said that city is the keeper of all the knowledge. In that city is where all the knowledge of the world is kept. Well, of course, Palenque is south of Hopi land, and so I couldn't help but think of that while I was there, because at one time Palenque was painted red, you know, the entire city. So that was a common practice among the Maya to paint their cities red. In many cases they used mica, and so that the city would look like a city of gold from the distance in the sunlight. And he told me that the Shining People told him that there are 67 solar systems in a confederation, and that spacecraft visit the Earth every day. There are hundreds of spacecraft. But he said that right now they're circling the Earth, but our governments don't have the technology to see them.
I'm going to ask you about that in a moment. That's an interesting concept. Dr. Yeah. Artie Sixkiller Clark, author of Sky People, is here. And we have our own sky person, Chris O'Brien.
Quiet over there.
With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN. We love that you're passionate about GCN. And whether you're a listener, a business owner, or a radio industry professional, we've redesigned the new GCN newsletter to keep you in the know. Get updates on your favorite GCN shows and hosts. Go to GCNlive.com and click on the banner in the upper left corner. Just for signing up, you're automatically entered for monthly giveaways. Start receiving your newsletter today. The future of talk radio. GCN.
People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy at 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.